Amen. I appreciate that. A lot of truth in that song. He is the fairest among 10,000. Let's grab our Bibles. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to do a little bit of a different message this morning. We're going to use an illustration this morning, and we'll see that here in just a few moments. But 2 Kings chapter number 5, a familiar story this morning, but maybe the direction we'll take it, the application we'll make this morning will be a little bit different for you. So let's all stand, and we're going to read just this first verse. We're going to deal with a good portion of this chapter of Scripture, but we'll just begin this morning with the first verse and read through that first verse, and then we'll get right into the message this morning. The Bible says this in chapter 5, verse number 1, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor," but notice this, it says, "but he was a leper." Let's bow our heads, have a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. We thank you for this good number here this morning. We thank you for each one and God, the effort they've made to be here. We thank you especially for our visitors that have come to join with us today. And Father, we pray that each one that's here will receive a blessing from you. And God, I just pray now that you'll speak to the hearts of every individual that's underneath the sound of our voice this morning. I pray, God, that you'd use me as simply a vessel, God, that you could speak through me. God, help me to say just that which would be your perfect will for the service this morning. And Father, I pray now that you'll speak to hearts, God, that one that's here and is lost, God, does not yet know Christ as Savior. Father, I pray especially for that one this morning, that you'll speak to that heart. May the Spirit of God work conviction and draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And Father, we thank you for all that you'll do. We'll be certain that it's you and you alone who receives the glory and the honor for anything that's accomplished this morning. We ask it now in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. So this is a familiar story probably to all of us, even to from the youngest to the oldest this morning. The story of Naaman is one that's probably familiar to just about every one of us this morning. But the direction that we'll take this message this morning may be not quite as familiar, and the application that will be made. And so I want us to take a look this morning at Naaman, hopefully, and relate ourselves to him this morning as we sit here underneath the preaching of the Word of God. And the Bible says this. Now let's read again in verse number 1. It says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria." Naaman was a great man. He was a well-known man. He was a man who was esteemed greatly, who was greatly respected. It says he was the captain of the host of the king of Syria. At this time, that would have been a very powerful position. He was a leader in the host of the army of the king of Syria. And he was a great man with his master. And it says that he was honorable. So he was a good man. He was a man of character. He was a man who was well respected by the community, no doubt. And it says, because by him the Lord had given deliverance. So he was a very accomplished man. He had done many great deeds. He had done many wonderful things for the king of Syria, his master. It says he was also a mighty man in valor. He was a courageous man. He was a man of courage, a man of bravery, a man who had fought great battles and who had won many great battles, a man who had won many great victories for the king of Syria. But now, look at the closing words of this verse. All of these things, all of these great and wonderful things that compassed the man that Naaman was, there was one thing that was the most important thing. And it says, but he was a leper. So here's Naaman, and he's a mighty man. He's a courageous man. He's a man of valor. He's a man who is well respected among his peers. He's a man of great power, of probably also great wealth, and he was a great leader there in the kingdom of Syria. But there was one thing that he could not conquer. There was one thing that was destroying him. There was one thing that ultimately, if something were not done, would be his demise. Maybe he'll not die in battle. Maybe he'll not die the death of a leader as the captain of the host of Syria. But if not, there's that one thing, the fact that he was a leper. We read about leprosy in Scripture and we relate it to sin today. It's a disease, a debilitating disease, a destructive disease, a disease that ultimately ends in the death of the one who has it. And so I want to begin this morning with a little bit of illustration. I think we've got a couple of men here this morning who are already prepared to do this, but I've got something I want to give to every individual that's here this morning, and it's a little black gemstone. And I'll tell you what I want this to represent this morning. This morning, you're going to receive one of these, and I'll tell you the reason I do this morning, because Naaman here, we find that he was a leper. You and I this morning, we are not afflicted. In fact, it's almost unheard of to be afflicted with the disease of leprosy in our day. But I want to also warn you this morning, you are, without Christ this morning, you are afflicted with a deadly, debilitating, destructive disease. And that disease is called sin. That disease is called sin. And so I want to tell you this, as you receive that little black stone this morning, I want to tell you what that represents. It represents what God sees when He looks at a man or a lady without Christ. Without Christ, God looks upon us and He sees us in our sin. He sees the wickedness, the filth, the nastiness of our sin. And that's all that He can see. Just like men looked at Naaman, and no doubt they looked at him and they had great respect for him, and they looked and they thought, here is such a wonderful man, a man of character, a man of great morals, but yet they looked at him and all they could see was that leprosy that was covering his body. And that's how God looks, and He sees us in that disease of sin. And friend, the same is true today that was true of Naaman. There is no cure. In and of ourselves, there is no cure for the debilitating disease, the deadly disease of sin. Just like Naaman, no doubt, probably he had went to all the physicians. He had probably spent a great amount of wealth. He had probably tried everything to rid himself of this terrible disease. And yet, we find it says, but he was a leper. Friend, we could change that this morning and say this about you and I. But he was a sinner. Doesn't matter how good of a person you are. Doesn't matter the esteem that you have among your peers. Doesn't matter how well respected you are. Doesn't matter the amount of wealth. Doesn't matter the amount of power that you've amassed. But you, this morning, without Jesus Christ, are a sinner before God. When God looks down, God does not look down and look and see the great position you've attained. God does not look down and see the great wealth that you've amassed. God does not look down and wonder and marvel that you're so well respected among your peers. But He looks down and He sees you just like that little stone, blackened with sin and the filth and the dirtiness of sin. And we see that that's Naaman's condition this morning. So I want you to understand this morning, if you are here and you're without Christ, this is the position in which you find yourself this morning. And this is going to be a message primarily to those who are without Christ this morning, but also want those of us who are here that have trusted Christ to again be refreshed and reminded of a few things this morning. So now let's take a look at these next few verses of Scripture. It says in the very next verse, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord, speaking of Naaman, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And so here's one point where we can just a note aside here this morning. This is a note for you and I here this morning who have trusted Christ, who are believers. You and I are possessors of the cure. We have the cure for that debilitating disease of sin. And we, like this little maid, we need to do our very best to speak up and say, boy, if you would just go to Christ, you could have the cure. You don't have to die in your sins. But friend, it's up to us, just like it was up to this little maid. Had it not been for this little maid, this little nobody, just like you and I, we're just nobodies. But friend, here's this little nobody. We don't even know her name. But she was faithful enough and she had enough faith to believe that the prophet had the cure. And friend, she was willing to speak up and share that cure with her master Naaman. And here's a little maid who's been brought captive. And you would think, out of all the people, you would think surely she would want to see Naaman die. But no, she wanted him to be cured. Friend, you and I need to be the same. We need to be desperate for those who have not yet found the cure to get access to it. And so we can learn that from this little maid this morning. But it says, she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. We can already see that Naaman's got this idea in his mind that his wealth and his prestige is going to buy him the cure. But friend, we'll learn very quickly here that all the wealth Naaman had absolutely nothing to do with the cure. He could not buy the cure. He could not purchase this cure. It was not for sale. Just like the cure for sin is not for sale. It cannot be purchased. It cannot be bought. But now he goes and it says he brought the letter to the king of Israel saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman." So Naaman, he's heard from this little maid and through second hand he's heard and he says, there's a cure for you over there in the land of Israel. And specifically in the land of Samaria where the prophet resides. And now he's made a choice to go. He's made a choice to seek out that cure. Hopefully you're here this morning, and if you're unsaved, you don't yet know Christ, you'll be willing to be honest with yourself and say, "Look, I know that I have this disease." And you'll be honest enough to seek out the cure this morning. But that's what Naaman did. He said, "I'm willing now to go and to seek out this cure." He didn't know a whole lot about it. He didn't know what this entailed, but he knew that he'd been promised there was a cure in this land of Israel. "And I therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover the man of his leprosy?'" Here's the king of Israel. He's received the letter from the king of Syria, and he says, "What in the world are they thinking, that I have the power to cure this man of his leprosy?" Everyone at this time knew there was no cure for leprosy. And there was nothing any of these men could do to cure Naaman of his leprosy. Just like there's nothing any man can do to cure the debilitating disease of sin. And so we look now and we see the problem that Naaman has. If something doesn't happen, leprosy will be the end of Naaman. Listen to what the Bible says about sin in James chapter 1 and verse 15. It says, "When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin." And notice this, it says, "And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." And friend, the death that is spoken of here in Scripture, when the Bible says the wages of sin is death, it's not just death, the end of our life here on earth. The Bible actually says that it's appointed unto men once to die. And that's all of us. All of us, saved or unsaved this morning, will someday see death. But the death that is spoken of here in Scripture and in Romans, when the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, is not just that death of our physical body, but it's an eternal death. It's eternal death being the opposite of eternal life in heaven, eternal death in hell. That's where our sin will ultimately bring us. But now, that's the problem. So now we've got to get down here and figure out the prescription. So we find the king of Israel says, there's nothing I can do in verse number 7. But now he says, "Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." But now it says in verse 8, here comes the man of God. "And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes?' So Elisha says, 'What's the problem? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.'" So now he says, "You just send Naaman right on over to me. I've got the answer. He's going to know that there's a prophet," meaning a man of God, "in Israel. He's going to know that the God of this prophet is the one and true God." And so we find now Naaman arrives in the land of Israel in verse number 9. "So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha." So here's Elisha, the prophet of God, not nearly as high esteemed as Naaman was, not nearly as powerful, not nearly as wealthy, but here's the prophet, the man of God, and Naaman's arrived at his doorstep. "And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.'" So now Naaman's arrived and he's seeking for the cure. He knows that if there is no cure, then this leprosy will ultimately take his life. But now he's searching for that cure and he's come to the very doorstep of the man of God. And he goes and Elisha simply does this. He sends out a messenger and says, "This is what you must do. Go and dip in the Jordan River 7 times and thou shalt be clean." Friend, that little black stone there that you represent is the problem. It's sin. That represents how God sees you as He looks down this morning. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as Savior, But there is a prescription. That's what we find here from the man of God. The prophet of God says, this is the prescription. This is what you must do. We think about when we go to a doctor's office and we've got an issue and the doctor, now he writes the prescription. Now the doctor doesn't personally carry you over to the pharmacy and grab the prescription and place it in your mouth. It's up to you from that point. And now it's up to Naaman. He's been given the prescription of what it will take for that disease of leprosy to be removed and for him to once again have life and not be looking to ultimate death by leprosy. But now, it's up to him. Let's see his response. He's got the prescription. The prescription was simply this, that you must go to the Jordan River and dip 7 times, and thou shalt be clean. Friend, for you and I, the prescription is much different. You and I do not have to go over to the land of Israel and dip in the Jordan River to be made clean. But let me read you what the Bible says is our prescription. You'll find it in Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. And you don't have to turn over there for sake of time this morning. But if you'll mark that somewhere. In Acts chapter 20 verse 21, Paul is speaking and he says this. He says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. So he says, as I went around and I spoke to these people, this is what I told them and here's what he said. He says, repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, for you and I, the prescription is not to go over to the nearest river, maybe the Rio Grande, and dip in that river 7 times and expect that we'll be made clean. For us, the prescription is different, but we have the prescription given to us in the Word of God. The prescription is simple, just like it was for Naaman. Doesn't sound very complex, does it? You go to the river, you dip 7 times, you'll be made clean. A very simple prescription. This prescription for you and I is simply this. It's repentance towards God. You know what repentance is? It's a change of mind. Repentance means I was going this direction and I was seeking my own way and I was hoping I was going to be good enough to make it to heaven. I was hoping that everything I was trusting in was going to be enough to help me to avoid eternal damnation in hell and to have eternal life in heaven. And what has to happen is I have to turn around. I've got to turn and have a change of mind. Repentance toward God. Instead of going my own way, instead of going the way that I had chosen, now I've got to turn and I've got to turn to God because He is the only answer. But it's not just that change of mind. Notice it says repentance toward God, but now listen to this, and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not just that turning from sin and turning to God, but it's turning and placing our full faith, our full trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the finished work of the gospel. Friend, that's the prescription for you and I this morning. If you would like for that black stone that you see to be changed and to be washed and to be made clean, it's going to take repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That this morning is the simple prescription. So how will you respond? Let's look at what Naaman's response was. Look with me in verse number 11. Naaman's been given the simple prescription. Go over to the Jordan River, which was not very far from here, and 7 times dip in that river, and you shall be clean. He had been promised. But now he says Naaman was wroth. And he went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. You know what Naaman's saying? That's not good enough. That's not the prescription I had in mind. That's not how I thought things should work. And hey, there's a lot of folks out there that when you begin to talk to them and you begin to ask them about where they'll spend eternity and you tell them, hey, all you've got to do is repent, turn to God, and place your faith in Jesus Christ, they say, no, that can't be it. That's too simple. That can't be it. You mean it's not, but I don't have to do all these good works. I don't have to be baptized. I don't have to be a wonderful person, and I don't have to get rid of all the sin of my life, and I don't... Hey, let me tell you, the Bible has the prescription. Who am I to change the prescription? Friend, it seems so simple. You know why? Because it is. Salvation is simple. To be changed from darkness to light is very simple. In fact, Paul wrote, and he says this, let me read you a verse of Scripture here. We look over and it says, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if you will, let's turn there this morning and we'll read. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We think about the simplicity that is repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we think it can't be that easy to be saved. But listen to what the Apostle Paul says as he wrote here to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. And he says this, let's begin reading in verse 1 and we'll read down a few verses here. So he said, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed ye bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." But listen in verse 3. "But I fear," Paul says this, "I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." He says, my fear is this, you're going to try to make it more complicated than it is. That was what Naaman wanted. If Elisha had sent someone out, or if Elisha had come out himself and given some great prescription and says, look, you've got to spin around 7 times, jump up and down 8 times, and then fall down on the ground and roll around and then jump up and you'll be cured, probably Naaman would have said, okay, that sounds reasonable. Or if he would have came out and said, hey, Naaman, if you'll give me everything that you've brought with you, those 6,000 pieces of gold, all those talents of silver, those changes of raiment, if you'll give all that to me, your leprosy will be cured. But that wasn't it. The prescription was simple. But Naaman was upset because he said, it can't be. That's too easy. Well, let me tell you this morning, folks, salvation is easy. Amen. Salvation is simple. The prescription to know where you will spend eternity this morning is simple. But how will you respond to the simple prescription? Let's look back over here at verse number 12 as we continue reading about Naaman. Naaman's received the prescription, but he's got better ideas. Listen to verse 12. He says, "Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel?" He says, can't I go dip in the Abana River or the Pharpar? They're much better. They're much cleaner. That's like the folks who say, well, can I do this and do that and earn my salvation? That's a much better way, but that's not the prescription. And then he says, may I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. But thankfully there was someone around him who had some sense. Listen in verse number 13. It says, his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Friend, I would say this morning without hesitation, if from the pulpit this morning I were here and I would declare some very complex method for you to come and know that you could spend eternity in heaven this morning, there'd probably be a great number who would respond. Because we want to have a part in our salvation. If I told you the very things that you had to do, the amount of money you had to commit, all of those things, and I told you this morning, if you'll just do those things, you can know that you'll go to heaven when you die. Most people would not even hesitate. They'd say, well, sure, I'll get the money. Let me go get my bank account. Let me go and I'll do whatever is required. I'll do it. Because that sounds reasonable to us in our flesh. We want to have some part. But the simple fact is this, you and I have absolutely no part in our salvation. If you're here this morning and you know without a doubt that you'll spend eternity in heaven, it's not because of anything that you've done outside of simply trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the prescription. And friend, I am not going to change the prescription this morning. And the prescription was not about to be changed for Naaman, but he had a choice to how he'd respond. For in just a few moments from now, you also will have a choice of how you respond to the prescription that's been given this morning. The prescription comes just like it did for Elisha, directly from the Word of God. Friend, I'm not up here to tell you what I think it takes for you to be saved. I'm not up here to tell you what I think it takes for you to be changed from darkness to light. I'm just here to declare what the Word of God says. The same was true for the man of God, Elisha. Elisha didn't necessarily have the written Word of God, but Elisha was tasked with only giving out that which was the direct Word of God. And that's exactly what he did from Naaman. I don't think Elisha sat in his house and said, boy, wouldn't it be funny to see Naaman go over and dip in the Jordan River 7 times? I think that's what we'll tell him to do. No, God had spoken directly to Elisha. And Elisha had simply carried the message to Naaman. And he'd given him the prescription. But now Naaman has a choice to make. Will he humble himself? Because you see, that was the problem for Naaman. He didn't want to humble himself and go and dip in that dirty Jordan River. Friend, if you know anything about the Jordan River, it's a dirty river. It's a muddy river. Just about all the time. And it was considered to be a river that was far less than those rivers that Naaman was familiar with over in Syria. And Naaman was a well-respected man, remember. Naaman was a man of great wealth, a man of power. You just imagine if the President of the United States today, and we told him, why don't you go over there in that dirty little river and dip 7 times? That's akin to what was being said to Naaman here. Here's a man of great wealth, of great power, of great respect, and now he's been asked to go and do something that just doesn't seem feasible. His pride had gotten in the way. And friend, the same is true for many who remain unsaved today. You know what it is that keeps people from responding to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Just about in every instance, it's our pride. We wonder to ourselves this morning. You may already be thinking this morning, look, I've never truly placed my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't go back to a moment in time when I trusted Him as Savior, and if I died today, I'd die in my sins. You may be aware of that this morning. But there's already a voice that's speaking in your mind this morning and saying, but if I come down and I kneel on that altar this morning, what are people going to think? They're already thinking, well, what's going to be said? What are people going to think? I don't want to get up and go out, and it's just so uncomfortable. And let me tell you, it's just pride this morning. Anyone that's here and is aware of their situation, aware of the fact that they're lost without God, and as God looks down upon you this morning, He sees you just like He sees that little black stone in your sin, in the filth and the darkness of your sin. And friend, if you're aware that you stand in that situation this morning and you refuse to come when the invitation's given, it's your pride, just like it was for Naaman. But now let's see if Naaman was willing to humble himself. In verse number 14, now it seems Naaman has come to his senses. You know what? The problem is this. People think, well, I'll try this or I'll try that and see if I can make it to heaven. And Naaman, no doubt, had tried everything else. He had exhausted his options by this point. And now I just imagine probably Naaman's thought process went like this. Well, I tried everything else and nothing has worked. I guess I might as well try it. Friend, let me tell you, I hope you'll get to that place this morning. If you're here and you're lost without Christ this morning, I hope you're thinking, well, I've tried everything else and it hasn't worked. Maybe it's time I try Jesus Christ. But that's what Naaman now, he comes to his senses. In verse number 14, listen to what happens. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan. Notice he followed the prescription exactly as it had been prescribed. So first of all, we saw the problem of Naaman's leprosy. We saw the prescription to go and to dip in the Jordan River 7 times. But now notice what we find. We find Naaman's purification. Listen in verse number 14. It says, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And notice what happens. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. Friend, I can't help but get excited about just imagining Naaman there. He's in that Jordan River and he's humbled himself and he's standing there soaking wet with the mud of the Jordan River hanging all over him. And he dips 1 time and he comes back up and probably looks at this. Well, he said 7 times. 5 more times. He goes down. He comes up that 6th time and he says, well, 1 more time to go. And then finally he dips that 7th time. And as he came up out of the water and he looked, and his skin was like that of a little child. And it was clean. There wasn't a spot. There wasn't a blemish. There was no leprosy to be found. Friend, can I tell you, that's what God wants to do in your life this morning. God wants to take that little black stone and let me show you what God wants to do with it this morning. Here in this jar I have perfectly clear, clean stones. This is what God wants to change you into. God wants to make you righteous this morning in His sight. In His sight this morning, if you're without Christ, you stand as a dirty sinner, as someone who's still in the darkness of their sins. And if you don't do something this morning, you'll die and spend eternity in hell because of your sin. But this is what God wants to do. God wants to take that dirty, rotten sinner and turn him into a saint. God wants to take you, just like He did Naaman, and take that leprosy and totally remove it, that it's no more even a thought. In fact, the Bible says this, that God, when He saves us, He takes our sin and He removes it as far as the east is from the west. He takes it and He places it behind His back, never to be remembered again. He takes it and He buries it in the depths of the deepest sea. That's what God does with our sin. And it'll never be remembered again. Now, I'm not here this morning to tell you you'll never sin again. But when you place your faith, you repent and place your faith in Jesus Christ this morning. From that point forward, this is what God sees. God sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And no more will He ever see your sin. Friend, let's look at a verse of Scripture this morning. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21. And I want you to hold your place there because we're going to read one verse and then we'll come back to a few more verses here in just a moment. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21. The Bible says this. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us." You know what happens? That little thing there that represents your sin, that black stone that you hold that represents all the filth, all the nastiness of your sin, it was placed upon Jesus Christ. It says He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Well, now listen to this. This is the most glorious part of it all. That we might be made, through our faith in Him, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Friend, that's what God wants to do with you this morning. He wants to make you a new creature in Christ. Just like Naaman was turned and his skin was as that of a child. Friend, if you'll trust Christ this morning, you'll be washed and made clean. I love the verses of Scripture we find over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 11 where the Bible says this. It says, "And such were some of you." Such were some of you. It lists this great list of sin and it says, "Such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So, friend, I ask you this morning, if you're here, can you go back to a point in time where you were washed, where you were made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ? The Bible talks about how that we were washed in His blood. Friend, has there been a point in time when you could say that I totally and fully placed my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and He saved me? Friend, if you're here and you can't say this morning, here in just a few moments, I want to invite you to come right down here to an old-fashioned altar. There'll be somebody here with a Bible, somebody that can show you what it takes for you to know that you've been made clean. Would you come and exchange this morning that stone of sin and the darkness of sin and exchange it for the pure righteousness of Jesus Christ? That's what God wants to do in your life this morning. But I want to take just a moment before we close out to also encourage those of us who are here and have already made that transaction. Go with me now back over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Because there's something else we need to see here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Bible says this. Begin reading with me in verse number 17. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." Hey, if that transaction's taken place, you remember that day when you became a new creature in Christ. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ." And now, listen to this. "And hath given to us," those of us who have made the transaction, "He hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we, those of us who have already made the transaction, are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Let me illustrate what those verses are saying this morning. For those of us who have brought that black stone of our sin and we've exchanged it for this, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, you and I have a responsibility, and it's this. It's to carry this to someone else who's not yet made the transaction. It's to carry the righteousness of Christ and offer it to those who maybe have not yet made that transaction. And now they can know how they, like Naaman, can be made clean. Amen. And friend, that's our responsibility. If we fail to do that, we've failed in our responsibility as a Christian. Friend, there's a lost and dying world out there who's lost in their sins, and they're like Naaman, they're searching for a cure. But they don't know what the prescription is. Somebody's got to take them the prescription. Friend, it's up to you and I. Those of us who've already made the transaction, the Bible's clear when it says we now are ambassadors for Christ, carrying the gospel message so that others may be made clean, so that others may be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I want to close simply with this. And it's a couple of verses of Scripture from the book of Isaiah. If you're here this morning and you look at that stone and you say, truly, that's where I find myself this morning, is in my sins. I've never truly asked God's forgiveness for sin and placed my faith in Jesus Christ. I can't go back to a moment in time when I was made a new creature. Friend, if that's you this morning, don't be like Naaman and let your pride stand in the way. Would you humble yourself and just come this morning? Here's what God's words are to you this morning. He says this in the book of Isaiah. He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. He says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. He says, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And that's what God wants to do for you this morning. The invitation's been extended. The prescription has been given this morning from the Word of God. It's simply this. Turn from your sin and turn to God. And this morning, place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. With every head bowed, every eye closed, let's all stand to our feet. We're going to have just a moment of invitation. The pianist is going to come and she's going to play. We'll have just a couple of verses of invitation this morning, but I invite you this morning, would you come? Would you come this morning? Where do you find yourself this morning? Have you already made that transaction? Can you go back to the moment in time where you personally placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if not, now is the time. Would you come this morning? There'll be a lady here with to come and meet you if you need to be saved this morning. And there'll be a man here to meet you if you're a young man or an older gentleman who needs to be saved this morning. Somebody will meet you with the Bible this morning and show you what it takes for you to be saved. Do you exchange that black stone, that sin that ultimately will end in your demise for the righteousness of Christ that's found in Christ Jesus? Would you come this morning? With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around this morning, I want to ask a simple question. Is there anyone here this morning that would just be honest? And say, look, I don't know for certain where I'd spend eternity this morning. I'm not 100% sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Is there anybody like that this morning that would simply just slip your hand up and put it right back down? I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to point you out. But I do want to pray for you this morning. Is there anybody like that that would simply just slip your hand up and right back down and say, I'm not certain before I spend eternity this morning? Anyone here? I see that hand. I want to pray for you this morning. Anyone else this morning that just slip their hand up and say, look, I'm not certain. Hey, there's no shame in not knowing. But would you just be honest this morning and humble yourself before God? There's still opportunity to come, if you will, this morning. There's a lady here ready to speak to you. There's a man here ready to talk to you this morning and show you what it can take for you to leave this morning knowing where you'll spend eternity. Would you come? Is there anyone else like that this morning? finish this verse of invitation, we'll close out this morning. Please don't leave without knowing where you'll spend eternity, knowing that your sins have been dealt with, knowing that you've been made righteous through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. We thank you for each one, God, that's sat underneath the sound of our voice this morning. And Father, I pray that you have spoken to hearts, God. There's nothing I could do to help anyone this morning, but I trust that the Spirit of God has spoken this morning. And Father, I pray this morning for the one whose hand was lifted. God, I pray that maybe even after the service here, in just a few moments, they'd seek out someone so that they can leave here knowing where they spent eternity this morning. And Father, I believe there are others here this morning who are also in that same circumstance. And God, I pray that you'd just continue to work in their heart. Father, continue to draw them to yourself this morning. And Father, I pray for those of us who have made the transaction this morning, God, that you would help us to be faithful, to fulfill our responsibility to carry the righteousness of God and Christ Jesus, to present it to others so that they may know where they'll spend eternity as well. And Father, we thank you for the message this morning that you've spoken to us. And Father, I pray that you would just be with us as we go our separate ways and carry us back this evening to once again come together to worship you. And Father, we thank you for what you've done. And we ask it now in Christ's name. Amen. All right, this morning you can be dismissed. Do be back tonight. We started a series last week on the God-glorifying life. Tonight we're going to deal with the God-glorifying prayer life. So be sure to be here tonight.